appropriate those two songs together. Open our eyes, Lord, and then Be Thou My Vision. How many of you know that song, that old hymn? Be Thou My Vision. The great, great hymn. Be Thou My Vision. How many of you have a vision for your life? How many of you can explain that vision? You see, because sometimes that's where the problem lies. I know what it is. I just can't explain it. It's a concept and it's an idea, and I kind of get it mostly, but there's some gaps, and I really just it's hard to describe. Words can't fully describe the vision I have, and that's sometimes where I think we all run into a little trouble sometimes. This church is a great church, and I am so privileged to be part of it. I'm loving life, folks. Let me just tell you, this is a great church. I get asked a lot what I'm doing this week. I had to go for a little procedure, some injections in my neck on Wednesday, and as they were wheeling me out of the prep room toward the OR so they could do their little thing, and the nurses were saying, "Oh, so what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And they said, "Oh, really? You're a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a preacher." Well, I walk in, they wheel me into the operating room, and usually when I go into the operating room, I don't know I'm going in there because I'm out, right? Well, this time they didn't do anesthesia. They just gave me a little happy medicine in my arm once I got in there. So this is the first time I've ever actually seen the inside of the OR, right? So I go in there, and these doctors and anesthesiology, all these people, they're having a party in there. They've got music playing. They're like dancing. And they wheel me in, and the nurse says, and there's this song playing. I've never heard the song, and it's a kind of a pretty fast-moving song. And she said, "Oh, is that the preacher song?" And they said, "Yeah, the preacher man." And I still can't find the song. Preacher man song. It's all I know it was called. They said, "How cool, because he's the preacher." It's like, well, hey, here we are. Then they gave me happy medicine, and I don't really recall much after that. But I get asked a lot about what do I do. And when I tell them I'm a pastor, usually they ask where my church is. And some know about it and some don't. Some of them go, "Oh, yeah, my grandmother lived out of Dolan," or whatever. I drive by it all the time. You know, I hear that a lot. My uncle used to go there. Yeah. But some know about it, some of them don't. But I always invite them, especially if they're close to our church, to come. And sometimes they come, and most of the time they don't. But then some cannot come because of just physical ailments, and they're not able to come, and so they can listen online. And now we have the capabilities; you can actually go online and actually watch the message, and that's a great thing. But the truth is, there's something special about being here, and I know that because I hear frequently from people that this was the place. They said, "I knew this was the place for us." And they knew that before they ever heard me preach, before they ever heard the music. They just knew. And here's the difference. It's you guys. It's you guys. It's y'all. Y'all are the church. The truth is that many people stay here because of you. And the question I want to ask you this morning is first of all, why do people come? Maybe even personalize it a little bit. Why do you come? Why do you come to church? Some people come because of a relationship. Well, I go because that's where my wife goes, and so I just want to be with my wife. I'm going to go. Some of them come because they, that's what I've always done. It's Sunday. It means church day. I mean, it's what we do. I don't think about it. I know that it's Sunday, so I get my clothes on and we go to church. I don't even think about it, but that's what we do. Some of you come looking for a date. I don't know. I mean, we're not farmersonly.com, But I'll tell you, the church is one of the best places to find a meaningful relationship. I will tell you that. But some come because they were taught, if you don't go to church, you'll go to hell. Yeah. Oh, if you're not going to be in church, you're going to hell, you're doomed. You know, well, there's... That's another sermon altogether, yeah. Some come because mom and dad didn't give them a choice. And praise God for you. I want you to think for just a moment about why you came to church, okay? Think about it. You, personally, why do you come to church? Why did you come today? And I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want you to turn to somebody and tell them why you're here today. Now, listen, here's the deal. We all know the Sunday school answer. Well, it's because of Jesus. I don't know what the question was, but the answer is always Jesus. Well, that, yeah, of course. But really, why did you come to church? Turn and tell somebody why you came, and then listen to why they came. I hear some laughs out there. I got to tell you something. I believe that God is getting ready to do something awesome. And I feel that I need to try to get as many people ready as I possibly can. I don't quite yet know what it is that God wants to do in us. And I've tried to imagine it. I've tried to imagine what it might be. And I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So whatever I could have imagined, it's bigger. It's bigger. And it fires me up. It excites me. Are you excited? All right. Can I tell you a Bible story? How many of you like Bible stories? All right, I'm going to tell you a Bible story. When I ask you, why did you come? It reminds me of the story about blind Bartimaeus. Now, if you turn to Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at a passage in there. And we're going to kind of work our way through it this morning. But in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, we read this account of blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight from Jesus Christ. And in verse 46, again, we're just kind of going to work through this. So verse 46 says, "They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus," which means son of Timaeus, "was sitting on the roadside begging." Now you see, Bartimaeus, he could not see. He was blind. He could not see, but he could hear. And the verse says that he heard. It doesn't say that, but he heard the approaching Jesus, and he heard the crowds, and he heard there was a lot of commotion. He heard. He couldn't see, but he could certainly hear. So Bartimaeus, he decided he wasn't just going to sit there. All right? He had heard about Jesus, apparently. And you know, he was kind of getting famous. And he decided he wasn't just going to sit there. Now listen, this might be the point for you this morning. So pay attention. It's more than just sitting there and receiving. It's about what God wants to stir up inside of you. Bartimaeus decided to act when Jesus approached. In verse 47, we see, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" In verse 48, you got to love this. "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" You see, the crowd tried to shut him up, like crowds always do. When someone gets passionate, the crowd tries to subdue that person, quiet him down. Oh, they try to keep passionate people from making, or they try to keep passionate people within their comfort zone. Why does that happen? Well, I believe it's because your passion is often proof of their apathy. And they would rather bring you down so they feel better about themselves than make the effort to step up and be bold and become passionate themselves. But that's another sermon. Let's look now at let's look back at 47, 48. In this passage, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Who is Bartimaeus interested in? Who is it that Bartimaeus is interested in? He's sitting by the roadside, he's blind, and he's begging, and he says, he hears Jesus coming, so he gets up. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Who is Bartimaeus interested in? Bartimaeus is interested in Bartimaeus. See, you thought we were in Sunday school. You know, this is not Sunday school. The answer is not Jesus right now, okay? The answer is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had Jesus have mercy on old Bart. Bart can't see. Have mercy on me. He was interested in himself. In verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. I don't know if he said just call him or call him. Call him. Call him. So they decided, or they called to the blind man and they said, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. In verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus spoke into the crowd, but he was speaking to one person. He called one person out of the crowd. And I got to tell you, when I preach, I always hope that everyone gets something. I always hope that someone gets inspired, someone gets challenged. I hope someone everybody has an encounter. But more often, I feel like I may be preaching to just one person. Oftentimes, when there's a large crowd and I'm preaching, I feel like, man, this message is just for one person. I don't know who it is, but I feel like sometimes, and I hear it after church sometimes, man, you were speaking straight to me. I don't think there was anybody else in the room. You've been reading my mail. I get that all the time. And I believe that you may be that person today. This might be just for you. I believe that every time I preach, it's a divine appointment for at least one person. They tell Bartimaeus, get on your feet. You see, what's cool here is he used his mouth, which worked. I mean, he was blind. His mouth worked. So he used his mouth. Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, get on your feet. He got on his feet because guess what? There wasn't nothing wrong with his feet. He got on his feet and he went to Jesus. He used what worked to affect what did not work. And I think we could all use that lesson in our lives. He decides that he's going to do what he can and let Jesus do what he can't. Not Jesus can't. Bartimaeus decided Bartimaeus is going to do what Bartimaeus can and let Jesus do what Bartimaeus cannot. Bartimaeus cannot see. But he can walk and he can talk and he's going to do everything that he can and trust in Jesus to do what only Jesus Christ can. And folks, sometimes in our lives, all the time in our lives, we need to be doing what we can and trusting Jesus to do what only Jesus can. There are some things that you cannot do. But God wants to do more than you can imagine because of His power, not yours. And then in verse 51, we kind of get to the crux of this. Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I don't know how he said that. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? I don't know. I mean, in the Greek, there's often not a lot of inflection. So I don't know exactly how he said it, but he said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, or teacher, I want to see. You see, there's another time when Jesus asked this same question. And if you'll back up in Mark chapter 10, if you'll back up to, I believe it's in about 35, am I right? About 35? Yeah. When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus responded, what do you want me to do for you? They said, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in glory. I think Jesus may have even chuckled here a little bit. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? You see, Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. You see, they got the question wrong. I believe they got the question wrong. Have you ever gotten the question wrong? Again, I ask, what are you here for? Not just today, and not here just in this church, but why are you even alive? Why are you on the planet? What are you here for? Why is this church here? Why does this church exist? We say that we're here to love up and love out. I mean, that's kind of our motto, love up, love out. Love God with all your heart. Love other people as yourself, right? That's kind of our motto. You see, it's not the healthy people that need a doctor. It's the sick that need the doctor. And it's the sick, the spiritually sick that need the church. So if you're here this morning in this place, and your answer was, well, I'm here because the people. Okay? Well, listen, if you're saved and you're a child of God, you're no longer sick. Two people agree with that. You are alive in Christ. You have eternal life. But there are people that don't. They need to be here. It's great to get together and to celebrate and to fellowship, but there are sick and dying people that need to know the love of God, and it's up to us to show them. And if we look inward and make it all about us, well, I come because I love the worship. I come because the preacher messes up a lot and I like to laugh at him. I come because my friends go. All those are great things, but if we look in and it makes it about us, I come because of what I get. I come because of what I need. Then that's looking inward. If we make it all about us, I believe God will take His hand of blessing off of us. And we'll end up like a lot of churches, shutting down, closing the doors. But guess what? That ain't happening. That ain't happening here. We will always open our doors to the lost, to the last, and to the least. It will never be enough. And I'm not interested in building large church. I'm not interested in becoming a mega church. And that's not my passion. That's not where my priorities are, and that's not my intentions. But that's also not up to me either. That's not up to me. I pray that I am never, ever satisfied with where we are. And as long as there is at least one lost person out there, we will not quit. Do you know what you want? What you really, really want? Well, let me tell you what you want, what you really, really want. That's a whole nother sermon. But do you know? Do you want to know the real reason you came? Do you want to know what it is that we as a church want for you? Do you really want to know what it is that God wants for you? Anybody? All right, here it is. It is this: to see what God can do through you. That's it. That's what you really, really want. Bartimaeus answered, I want to see. And people are wandering through life blind. And people are blind to the potential. People are blind to the opportunities before them. And the first thing that God will do when transforming your life is to open your eyes so that you can see. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. The first thing that will happen is God will open your eyes to see what God can do. Now, you've seen what you can do. How many of you are ready to throw that cloak aside, to get up, move to Jesus, and see what God can do? I love my verse. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Another passage says, for no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has even conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm ready for something bigger than me, folks. Do you want to see what God can do? Let me ask it again. Do you want to see what God can do? Now listen, if you're that one person in the crowd that I'm speaking to today, you may be that very one person. Everybody else is just kind of here for the ride or whatever, but there's one person, I believe. There always is. If you are that one person that I'm speaking to today, do you want to see what God can do? Don't listen to the crowd. Remember, they tried to shut old Bartimaeus up. Hush, rebuked him. Shut up. You're out of line. You're out of whack. We don't do that here. Did he care? No. He was fixing to have an encounter with Jesus, and he didn't care what anybody else thought about it. Sometimes I think we need a little more Bartimaeus in us. Don't listen to the crowd. Move and see what God can do for you, what He can do for you. Now, for you is a great place to start because you need a touch from God to empower you, right? But empower you for what? This is where old Paul Harvey would say in the rest of the story. Empower you for what? Here's the deal. To see what God can do for you is a great place to start, but it's a terrible place to stop. If you always live your life, what can God do for me? What can God do for me? What can God do for me? That's a terrible place to stop, folks. What God really, really wants for you is for you to be able to see what God can do through you. Remember our verse, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Your potential. This is going to blow your mind. Some of you are just going to, you know the purple cloud that comes out on the commercial? Some of you are going to have a purple cloud experience here. Your potential, now listen to me, your potential is equal to God's power. Think about that for a second. If there's really something God wants you to do and you can't, that means that He's not powerful enough to cause you to be able to do it. Your potential is equal to God's power in your life. Sometimes we limit Him. He is at work within us. Now, God has a job to do, right? There's stuff that only God can do. God has a job to do, but guess what? He's going to do it through you. He's going to do it through you. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to, as long as we submit ourselves to Him. Huh? Now, God uses people that even don't submit themselves to Him because that's how big and strong my God is. Problem is, they're on the wrong side. And He's using them for some discipline or something else, or like the old Pharaoh or something. I know I'm running out of time, but I got too much to say, so we're just going to keep going. We've seen this before. Well, this is just too much for me. I'm a murderer. I can't do that. Well, I hear you, Moses. But take off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. I got a job for you to do, and I'm going to do something through you. Yeah? Now remember Moses? A murderer. Well, I've done some mighty bad things. I hear you, King David. But become a man who's after my own heart. And time and time and time. I can't do that. I'm only 14 or 13, however old Mary was. Oh, but Mary, I'm going to do something through you that is going to be a blessing to the entire world. God works the things that only He can do, but He does it through me and you. It's not about who you are. I'm sorry, folks. This world will say it's all about you, all about number one. You got to look out for number one. Guess what? You ain't number one. It's not all about you. It's about who God is and what He can do through you. And it's okay to start with what can God do for you. But the best part of the story, listen, I haven't even climaxed the story yet. The best part of the story is what Bartimaeus did. After God did something for him, after God opened his eyes and made him be able to see. Look at Mark 10, verse 42. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see, the greatest miracle in Bartimaeus' life is not what God did for him, But it said he decided to follow Jesus and to see what God could do through him. And let me tell you something, that'll be the greatest miracle in your life too. I mean, coming to Christ is an awesome miracle. When we understand that who we are and who Christ is and what he's done for us, and we give ourselves to him completely and fully and totally. And that's a great miracle. But guess what? The story's not finished yet. There's not a period, and the words "the end" are not written in that chapter. The next chapter starts with, and then Jonathan, and then Vicky, and then David, and then Dina, and then Beverly, and then Hal, and then Karen, and then Zachary, and then Gary, and then the goat that goes on and on and on again. And I won't leave out Joe, and then Joe. He was worried, he was concerned that he was left out of the story. We all ought to be concerned that we're left out of the story. And then, what is your "and then"? How is God moving and working through you to accomplish his plan and his purpose? What can God do through you? Now, I don't know the answer to that. And you may not know the answer to that either. And that's okay. Because the truth is, even if you could imagine it, I know where I'm going. Even if you could imagine what that might would be, to him who is able to do immeasurably, how much is immeasurably? Don't know, we can't measure it. Greater than we could ever imagine. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power. How much power has he got? All of it. That his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory. In the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And folks, let me tell you something. Your story's not over. Maybe you came to Christ and you thought, well, that's it. That's the end. My next step is heaven. I just can't wait to get there. I'm just biding my time till I get there. You're missing out on what part of the greatest part of life there is. Living the life as a saved person, as a redeemed child of God. You're missing out on that part. And maybe you're just kind of biding your time. Let me tell you something. God's not through. He has got such a plan for you, and he wants to accomplish through you some things that nobody else can do. Nobody else can do. And God wants to use you. And you, 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 even you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. God wants to use you. He wants to show his power, which is at work within you, to accomplish his task that only he can do. But he'll do it through you. Now, see, you're not on the right team if you haven't first trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So that's first, that's paramount. But too many people quit at that point. Well, I'm saved. I've got my golden ticket punched. Now I'll just enjoy the rest of my life. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're a true child of God and you're not living for God, there is no enjoyment for you. You may think you're enjoying it, but it's not. You're not building up anything that's going to last. That's that hay and stubble stuff. It's going to burn up in an instant. Oh, folks, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you might have it abundantly to the fullest. I could write a book, Live Your Blessed Life Now or something like that. I won't write that book because my best life is yet to come. But the life I have now can certainly be a whole lot better than it was before. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Where are you? Why are you here? What'd you come for? I hope I've told you what you came for. I hope that you understood that what I said, what I believe God told me, is that you've come because you really want to see God do something bigger than you. And you want to be part of it. How many of you want to be part of something like that? Father in heaven, Lord, we want to be on your team. Lord, we want to be accomplishing the things that you want us to accomplish in this world that we can't do on our own, but the Lord, that we can trust in you and you will use us. You will form us together. You will make us a team. And you will do things, Father, that we look back and go, man, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't be able to believe it. Because it is immeasurably more than I could even have imagined. But Lord, you're that kind of God. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord. I pray that if there is one person in this room that has never put their faith and their trust in you and received you as their Lord and Savior, as their boss and as their rescuer, Father, that today would be their day. And I pray, Lord, that if there is somebody in this room, maybe that one person that this message was for, that has been saved and redeemed, but not living a life that shows it, Father, that is not being used by you, Father, they're missing out on their part and seeing what God can do through them. Father, I pray that today would be the day they say, oh, no more of that. I'm going to start building up some stuff that lasts forever and ever. And I'm going to be on God's team, and I'm going to see what God can do. I'm curious. I'm curious to see what God can do through me. Little old me, flawed, ignorant sometimes, little old me. I wonder what God could really do through me if I gave myself fully to Him. And I pray, Father, today somebody would answer that question. Lord, there are others of us that just needed some encouragement. Need some encouragement. And need to get the focus off of us. It's not just what you can do for me, but really, you want us to grow from that. Get off the baby food and say, okay, now how can I feed somebody else? I've learned to eat. Now, thank you, Lord, for my food. Now I've got so much food, I need to share it. How can I share that with somebody else? Father, I pray you would call us to be more than who we are. Not in our own strength, but it is your power that is at work within us and through us. In Jesus' mighty and holy and precious name, amen.